Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today we will be continuing the last message in the series, Remembering the Reformation. So let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 5, as Dr. Neufeld brings us the message called Solo Deo Gloria.
In anticipation of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation and in celebration of it, I've taken a week in which I have decided to review what has become known as the five solas of the Reformation. Sola Scriptura refers to Scriptures alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. Solo Christo, Christ alone. Sola Gratia, grace alone. And today, Solo Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. See, one of the reasons why I am sure that a great many contemporary evangelicals are forgetting the lessons of the Reformation is because we have forgotten that important lesson, to the glory of God alone. There are numerous signs that this is so, that is, that we have forgotten the glory of God. For one, would you notice how often when we proclaim the gospel, we begin with the glory of man and the glory of our plans in life, the glory of our personal fulfillment, and so forth? You know, think of how often we begin with describing God's role in our lives as if God's principal goal and role is to help us find personal fulfillment. I remember reviewing an evangelistic tract some time ago in which there appeared a pie chart on the cover. You know, each piece of the pie represented a part of a human life. One pie piece represented work life, and then there was financial concerns and sex life and future plans and so forth. And then one piece of the pie was enlarged and separated from the graph to make it stand out. It said, relationship with God. And underneath the chart was a question. Is there a missing element in your life? You know, I stared at that tract and wondered what this had to do with the God of the Bible. God is not the missing element of a life that already has so many things in place. God doesn't fill the empty room in our house. He tears our house down and builds a new one for His glory. Or consider how we sometimes think about the cross. You know, some time ago, a very popular and in many ways a God-glorifying song about the cross was sung. It contained the words, above all powers, above all thrones, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were there before the world began. Now that song really contained a lovely melody and lovely lyrics and in many ways reflected the greatness and the glory of God. But there was one line in the song which reflected that we really have lost a very crucial element of Solo Deo Gloria. It was the line, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. See, that line was a reference to the cross, that the highest thought that Jesus could have on the cross was of you and I. Now, even though the songwriter rightly brought attention to the fact that the cross brought mercy and grace to undeserving sinners, but because of that, he assumed Jesus was thinking of us above all while on the cross. And it is this that so many can't imagine Jesus thinking of anything else while on the cross that tells me we really do need a new reformation. John 17 contains what has become known as Christ's high priestly prayer. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and immediately after the events in that room, he's going to walk to the Mount of Olives, and there he will pray until drops of blood fall to the ground from burst blood vessels in his forehead. Then he's going to be arrested and tried and crucified. And according to the Gospels, he knew with absolute clarity that that was going to happen. Now in John 17, the disciples hear him praying right before the events of the cross. I'm reading the first five verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, Glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Notice Jesus' mindset here. Father, glorify or shine the light of your glory onto your Son while I am on the cross. And I, in turn, as I am dying for the sins of the world, will shine the light of glory unto you. Why? Because above all things, what the cross does is declare the eternal glory of God. Above all things, when Jesus hung on the cross, his first thought was on the glory of God. Now, if that sounds strange, let me take us through a brief study of God's eternal motivation for all that he does. So let's begin with God's motivation in creating human beings. According to Isaiah 43, verse 7, God created every human being for his glory. According to Psalm 25, verse 11, David prays for forgiveness, and listen to his words. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. So then, why should God forgive David? David says, God, do it for the sake of the greatness of your name. Or be motivated to act in mercy as a demonstration of just how magnificent you are. Let's move to the very famous Psalm 23. In verse 3, David writes, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Psalm 31, verse 3, David writes, for you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. Again, whether it is God leading David in the paths that are good or right, or whether God is protecting his life, David says, I know why you're doing these things. You're doing this because you want to highlight what an overwhelmingly glorious God you are. Now, do you think those are just a few isolated verses? Well, think again. Psalm 79, verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Or as God says in Isaiah 37, verse 35, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. Or Isaiah 48, verse 9, for my name's sake I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Then two verses later, for my own sake, for my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Indeed, if we pile these passages one on top of another, we begin to understand Moses' prayer in Exodus 32. You know, Israel has just sinned in the incident of making a golden calf that they worshipped in the desert. God tells Moses, you know, you leave me alone that I might consume them. And Moses responds in one of the boldest prayers in human history. Exodus 32, verse 12 records Moses as saying, why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? In other words, Moses implores God to act on the only basis upon which he knows God will act, for the sake of his glory. Indeed, as the Apostle John would say so simply and yet so eloquently in 1 John 2, verse 12, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And so I hope you can see that the lines, he thought of me above all, is simply a misunderstanding of the very basis upon which God always acts. He thought of his glory above all. But those lines also betray, I think, that we have lost something so fundamental to our faith that previous generations thought of so naturally. Other generations thought constantly of solo Deo Gloria, and in our generation, it's almost as if we need to be taught something that seems to us as if it's come from a foreign culture. And that's why, for so many of us, the idea that, as David would express in Psalm 8, this sense of wonder that the altogether glorious God who acts for his own glory would be mindful of us, you see, that seems just foreign to us. That's because, as one popular preacher said some time ago, God offers us salvation because he knows he can't live without us. It's as if he believed that God needs us. God's incomplete and deeply dissatisfied with his life without us. And so, not so subtly, we've changed from solo Deo Gloria to the glory of man. And God exists to give us purpose and meaning, but when we lack it, or when we suffer, or when we encounter disappointment and tragedy, then we turn to God in anger and we say to him, you've broken your bargain with me. You exist to fulfill me. And if you don't keep up your end, I'll hurt you by breaking my fellowship with you. See, it's never occurred to many of us to say what the great American preacher Jonathan Edwards stated. He said, God regards himself infinitely above his regard for all other things. Or as theologian Daniel Fuller said, all God's energy and the intensity of his feeling are fully directed towards delighting in the worth of himself. For his glory. For his glory alone. Solo Deo Gloria.
John, this has been a wonderful series. But the reality is, it's not the Reformation, but the people of the Reformation that's critical. That's really the one thing that's most important, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, and others, I mean, they're not the new pope. We find that we have so much to learn from them, but if they did anything for us, they called us to trust in the Bible and also to put our faith in Christ. So that's the great discovery of that time, and we need to be so thankful to them for that.
Thank you, John, for that insightful messages on the series Remembering the Reformation. Join us again as Dr. John Neufeld takes us through the message entitled Solo Deo Gloria. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email info@backtothebible.in. info@backtothebible.in.